Hello and welcome to From Fear to Fire, secrets to overcome fear, embrace your gifts, and achieve success. This is the place where real people share real challenges and where you can find a common bond and uncommon wisdom through their journeys to help you move from fear to fire. I am Heather Hansen O'Neill, your host, and today's quote is by Marion Wright Edelman. You really can change the world if you care enough. And we've got somebody who cares a lot here as our guest today. Sarah Pope has currently serving as the Chief Executive Officer of SOS Care, a nonprofit that serves children and adults with autism and intellectual disabilities. She's been working in the field of disabilities for over 40 years. And over the last 14 years, she created multiple programs at SOS Care to assist the autism and IDD population across their lifespan. Some amazing things that she's doing. You're going to love her. Welcome, Sarah. How are you today?
I'm good. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm excited to dive a little bit deeper, but let's go back a little bit. First of all, I just said a few things about you, but you've got a lot that you've done. So is there anything else that you'd like to share about how you got to where you are right now?
Well, it was sort of a surprise, one of those forks in the road, I think, for me. And, you know, when I went to college, I was interested in working with children, but I had never worked with people that had autism or disabilities. And so I had a professor that said, hey, guess what? Your first internship is at the National Autistic Society. And I was like, ooh, what? I don't think I signed up for that. I was thinking I was going to work like at Catholic charities or something like that. Not sure I'm cut out for that. And he said, pretty much, you're going. So I showed up at the school, and it was just one of those moments where I knew immediately that this was a place I was supposed to be. And I just started reading every book about autism and, you know, volunteering my time. I couldn't get enough of this new thing that I knew nothing about. And so that's really how my journey started when I was about 18.
That's amazing. I love the stories that where the doors open for you, and sometimes somebody pushes you through the door, and then you're like, oh, this is where I'm supposed to be. Those are the best stories. I love that. Now, a lot probably happened between that decision at 18 and where you are now, and how you develop the programs at SOS Care. How about, is there anything else that you think stands out as a defining moment for you between those times?
Well, I think for me, it was really just, I loved to travel as well. And so I ended up traveling to different countries. And then when I came to America, to different states, and I learned a lot about the disability world in different areas of the country and how things were run. And I got to see a lot of things that I liked, and I got to see a lot of things that I didn't like in the field. And so I think for me, it just really helped sort of define what my ultimate vision would be for creating this life for people with disabilities. So all the experience totally put me where I needed to be to really start this project at Oak Tree Farm.
So tell us a little bit more about SOS Care overall, and then the specific project of Oak Tree Farm.
Yeah, so SOS Care has been a nonprofit since 1986. And the founder was a retired doctor who gave up his practice because he wanted to help people in the community. And really what he did was needs surveys in the community and determined what was something that had to be addressed. And so he created many programs at SOS over the years, but then his granddaughter was diagnosed with autism about 20 years ago. And that's when I started working. I was on the board and I was already working with him, but that's when, about 15 years ago, he asked me to take over and really start looking at the needs of people in the community, in the autism sort of area, because that's when the numbers started really growing very quickly.
And then from that, that's where you decided that Oak Tree Farm was a solution.
Yeah, I mean, it sort of took a little bit of time to get there. I'd always had the vision for creating some really independent living type program. I worked in one in London many, many years ago, and I loved the outcomes for the adults that were there. And so I've always had that in my mind. And then at SOS, we had so many programs that we started working on. We filled in all the gaps for people where a program didn't exist. We would create a program, or I would create a program. And, once we filled in a lot of those gaps, and then we started working with adults. When you practice independent living skills and you start working in the community and you build some employment skills, those are all really amazing things that help people become more independent. But at the end of the day, they were still going home and living with their parents who are aging at this point and don't really have a plan. There's no plan for housing for people with disabilities. And so it really started to just fit with this vision I'd had for so long that we then create this next piece, which I feel like is sort of the final destination, with the programs.
Ah, oh, that's beautiful. So, where are you in this project right now, and what are your goals for it?
Well, we have 72 people moving in January into the three apartment buildings that are just about completed. We're actually just waiting for the certificate of occupancy and getting the landscaping finished. So they're moving in January. And then we have two more buildings. We've applied for funding for two more apartment buildings. We're waiting to hear if we have been funded for our project. So I feel very hopeful about that. And then there's two group homes sort of model that I would like to build in this 10-acre community, which are called community training homes. And the community training homes are for people that have much higher needs. They need 24/7 care. And we don't want to forget the people that have higher needs. And so this would be an amazing community for them to live into, because all of the supports that they need will be there already, and people that can help and support them. And so those are the pieces left. So we still have about $10 million left to go in the project. And then
Is that all?
meanwhile,
Just 10 million?
yes, that's all. Just 10 more. What's 10 more when you already spent 10? And then, our goal, we've just finished a housing study, which is one of a kind in the country, which we did for the Charleston area. And we're about to publish the document. And then we'll be looking at, how to do a similar project in the Charleston area as well.
Now that study, if I recollect from our last conversation, that you also were in other areas too, right? Did you go into, was it Texas? Where did you go?
We partnered with a team in Arizona. Yeah.
Arizona. Okay.
So that was the first study is in Arizona. There's one in Salt Lake, and then Charleston was next. And so it's a pretty unique study that's never been done before. But we wanted to be part of that because housing is such a major issue across the country for people with disabilities, and nobody is really working on planning how is this going to happen. And so we want to be in the, forefront of that with a couple of these other organizations that are doing similar projects.
I love that. It's so important to ask the right questions, to do the research, to work together. I'm a big fan of not duplicating efforts in silos. Let's work together and
Yes.
collaborate and come up with best practices that we can share. I love that you're doing that. But I also don't want to flippantly move over that $10 million. So let's go back for a moment. I have a question about how do you fundraise? Like, how do you make all this happen? Because it does require a good chunk of money to make these amazing things occur.
Yes. So multiple funding sources. So we have a lot of fundraising events, and you can see all of those on our website and our social media platforms. And so we are always fundraising with events. Other people do events for us too and help raise money for us. So other organizations in the community, which is amazing and really helpful because it doesn't mean we have to spend all this time planning. We just get to show up and volunteer and help, and people give us, the funds from these events, which is fantastic. We also have donors that donate regularly through campaigns that we have, capital campaigns and end of year campaigns and Giving Tuesday and Palmetto Giving Day and things like that. We also have grants that we write. So we have a grant writer on our team, or multiple actually grant writers. We write grants. And so some of the funding is grant funded. So for the project at Oak Tree Farm, South Carolina Housing Authority has helped fund the project. Horry County ARPA funds helped fund the project. The Chapin Foundation and multiple other foundations and donors in the community have funded. So it's really a community project, which is amazing. It's got so many sources of funding, and so many people wanted to help. So it really became a community project.
That's beautiful. I love to hear that. You know, it takes a village, right?
Yes, literally.
Speaking of the village and the community, I mean, I imagine that it requires a lot of volunteers as well as the donor side, right? So
Yes.
do you look for volunteers and maybe board members in a specific area, or how might people, if they wanted to get involved in something like that, what would they do?
Yeah, actually, so the volunteer efforts we have right now, we're looking for really partners in the community that want to be a support person for a person, who lives there. So a friend, that might be able to offer a ride or come and help with something, or maybe take them shopping, something like that. So we're looking for friends to sign up. So we have an application for that right now, and we're trying to build that community support base, because natural supports in the community are so important for the sustainability of this neighborhood. So that's one way that volunteers can get involved. The other way they can get involved is we'll have an activity director that we hire for the project. We're in the works of that now. And people from the community can come in and offer a class or a cooking, project or a fitness workout or things like that, that we can put people on the schedule and they can come and donate their time to help with something where we bring the community in to the neighborhood. We also are always looking for volunteers for events that we have for all of our other programs. We have multiple golf tournaments and things like that where we always need volunteers. So there's lots of opportunities for people to get involved other than, writing a check. We need bodies too. We need the people with big hearts that care and want to help.
I know that you need a lot of help. So please, I'll encourage anyone listening who might be interested in this to definitely reach out, because I found in my experience that when you do that, when you volunteer your time and your presence, something moves you, that you walk away a better person. So I guess my next question is for you. Do you have a story that touched you? You must have like a million, but do you have one right now that pops to mind right away that stands out that you can share?
Yeah, I mean, I do have a million.
I'm sure you do.
I think when you're in this space, with people with disabilities, there's so many things going on in the world, as you know, that are, difficult and challenging, and there's just so many terrible things that are happening. Spending time in a community of people with disabilities is just such a different place to be. We have so much to learn from people with disabilities. They're able to connect in a way that sometimes others are not. When they're together, they just get along so easily, and it doesn't matter where they're from, and it doesn't matter what religion they are, and it doesn't, all of those things don't matter in this population. And so being in a space like that, when there's so much hate in the world and terrible things that happen, I think people have a lot to learn from spending time with us and being in this place where it's just a much more pleasant way to live. And it's hard to describe that to people unless they come and join us. But there's a lot to learn from these people that we work with every day.
And you get that opportunity to be touched like that on a daily basis. You put in a lot of effort and time, though, too. So, let's get a little bit personal here. So, with a show called From Fear to Fire, I always like to ask my guests about a fear or a challenge that they've overcome and a lesson that they may have learned from it. So, for you, what might that be?
Well, I think probably at SOS Care, there's a lot of challenges. I mean, you have to really learn to just jump off and build your wings on the way down many days because we don't always have the funding we need for a program, or we didn't get the grant we were hoping for. Trying to start a massive project like Oak Tree Farm was incredibly challenging. And of course, it was during COVID, where we received funding and then we weren't able to build. These are the times where, some people may have said, you're never going to be able to do this. There's no such thing as free money for building low-income housing, or you're not going to be able to make this happen during this time. And I think those are the things that just sort of set the little fire burning under my feet where I know I have to. I mean, I have to get it done. I'm the person. I was put in this role for a reason, and I can figure out how to make things happen. So all of the programs that grow and the funding that comes and the people that come to us when we need them, all of that happens usually from a place of fear where you go, oh, is this actually going to be a thing? And then we put it out in the universe and we make it happen, and everything lines up the way it needs to. So always pushing forward, always saying I can, not that won't happen. Super important because we get back what we put out in the universe.
Oh, I believe that so strongly, Sarah. I definitely love that. So, are there any additional new projects that you're working on or?
Well, now we've finished our Charleston housing study. We'll be starting a new study in the Columbia area that starts in January. And then, really what we want to do is get the rest of our Oak Tree Farm project funded so we can finish it and start looking at building in Charleston.
Good. That Charleston project's going to be amazing. When do you anticipate that's going to happen?
We're looking at land right now. So our goal is to start an independent living program in Charleston this fiscal year. And our fiscal year started in November. And so we're looking at land and buildings, and we're working with a couple of different people, a developer in Georgia and a realtor in Charleston. And we're narrowing down some buildings and space. And our plan is to get that up and running.
That's fantastic. Oh my gosh, I love that. So, how does the EOS program work with the organization?
Actually, it's been amazing to help us really run our business. And so we were super grateful to Dan Mucci, who donated all of our EOS training for the last 2 years because he loves our organization and wanted to help us further develop. So our entire organization is broken up into teams, and everyone's on a team. Everyone has 90-day goals and 7-day to-dos, part of the EOS language. And so we're able to move very quickly through attaining our goals and keeping everybody accountable. I think that's the biggest part. part is that we meet every week on our respective teams, and we make sure people are staying on task, and that's how we get things done very quickly and efficiently using EOS.
I love that. So for those of you who are listening, you can use those same strategies. Accountability, we know, is super important if you want to get things done. So I love what you're doing there. Now, if people are interested in learning more about SOS Care, about maybe volunteering their time or donating or any of that, how can they find you?
Well, the best place is probably to go to our website. So soscaresc.org. And then people can call us. So our number is 843-449-0554. And they can get in touch and we can connect them with the person they need to talk to. And all of our information is on the website. If they want to volunteer, we'd have them fill out a volunteer application. If they want to donate, there's lots of buttons on our website for different programs that they can click on. But we'd love to connect. If there's anything collaboratively that people are interested in working with us on, I talk to people all the time, as you know. That's how we met, and we just connect and figure out how we're going to work together on the project.
I love that. So I encourage you, if you're out there and you're thinking about it, just reach out, do a little recon. We've got the links in the show notes for you. So if you didn't get to write it all down, don't worry about it. You just go to the show notes and you can click on that and make it happen. So speaking of how we connected, one of the things I'm going to share with our listeners, one of the things that Sarah and I found that we had in common was dancing. So I do encourage all of you out there to find those other things that fulfill you and bring you some joy too, like volunteering, like doing something that lifts your spirits or whatever it might be. So Sarah, are there other things that bring you joy that help in this journey?
Well, I think it's important to have things outside of this world that I live in. I also, as you know, I'm a mom of two young men who have disabilities. And so finding time to do things that I like and give me pleasure to is important. So I, of course, as you know, love to dance. That's how we met. And I love art and I like working out. All of those things are super helpful to, you know, make the journey a little more peaceful. And I love to travel. So those are the things that I do in between.
Outstanding. You know, it's interesting. So Sarah, thank you for sharing with our listeners your journey and some of the things that you enjoy and about your sons. You know, I'm going to go back to something that you said earlier about things happening. Sometimes the universe provides. And so Sarah got pushed through that door when she was 18 before, and now she's just been a gift to everyone at SOS Care, to her sons having that experience as well, and to others in the community. So Sarah, thank you. I really appreciate it. Do you have any final parting words of wisdom for our listeners today?
I would just say, if this has sparked any interest or ignited your fire, come and join us. We'd love to have you on our journey.
Awesome. Now, I did not pay her to say that. She threw in that fire thing. Everybody does get a little bit of bonus points, brownie points, when they throw in a fire analogy. So thanks, Sarah. That was pretty cool. So I so appreciate your time today. Thank you very much, listeners. If you think that this is a show that touched your heart or you'd like to share it out with someone, please, please do that. We love when you share it. We love when you write in and give us some information or some suggestions or some comments about what you loved about it. Thank you for those that have been coming in. We do appreciate you. And please come back and join us again next week. Thanks, everyone, and have a beautiful week. Thank you.